Hey, how's everybody doing? Welcome back to Down and 30. I'm your host, Elizabeth. Happy Thursday, happy thirsty Thursday. You know what time it is. Pop a wine, pop a water, pop a champagne, pop a coffee, pop a tea, whatever you need. We're just here to chit chat, have a little fun, wind down, get ready for the weekend. And just vibe out. We're just here. We're happy to be ourselves. We are happy to just be thriving, honestly. Again, let me give the disclaimer of the noise. I'm sitting by a window and we are in like some serious wind tunnel situation right now. If you live anywhere in the Northeast, maybe you're experiencing it too. But things keep flying. I feel like that's the theme around here. It's just the chaotic energy that we're all existing in. I wanted to just have a little fun this week. Frankly, I just wanted to let loose a little bit. I'm really, really exhausted this week, and I'm sure a lot of you are too, so I'm sure you feel me on this. But yeah, I just wanted to have a little fun, just vibe out. Nothing too serious, nothing too cray. And we'll just chat it out. We'll just rock it out. So I wanted to talk about some things, like things that I am loving right now, things that I am looking forward to in the next coming weeks, months, season, etc. Spring has sprung. We've got summer on the horizon. All good stuff. All good stuff. So we're going to chat about that a little bit. Hopefully some of this resonates with you. Hopefully this gives you a little mood boost, gets you excited for some things happening in your own life. You know that's the theme around here. Okay, someone is beeping. That is the theme around here. We are just trying to live life. I'm just out here living life. You can really say that we lived life. If you know, you know. But before we begin on today's episode, let's just all take a minute, check in with ourselves. Things have been kind of heavy in the world, as we all know, for many reasons. So just take a minute, take a second, close your eyes if you want, check in with yourself. What do you need? What are you craving? Is it self-care? Is it alone time? Is it genuine connection? Is it good times in conversation? What is it that you need? Just take a listen to that, and then, when you figure out what it is that you need, go and seek it. It's been a hell of a year. For some, worse than others, but everyone's going through shit on their own level. So, just address the needs. No one wants their shit to pile up and then, pop off at the inopportune time. So address the needs and seek the resolution. All right, now that we're all centered, let's shimmy into some things that are getting me juiced up and jazzed out. Let's start with a couple of things that I am loving right now, just totally loving. So one thing right off the bat, and this is one of the reasons we got to make it quick. I'm pretty sure I gotta check my calendar, but I'm pretty sure tonight is a new episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey. I am frankly, I've just been reliving my Housewives fantasy the past few weeks. Like I honestly, I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't have very many shows. Like I'm very much like a reading music or like binging series on YouTube type of thing. So I'm very much that. But one thing I really, really enjoy is what other people would consider to be guilty pleasure, trashy type reality TV. Now, there is no shame in my game, at all, 100%. So I prefer not to use that type of terminology, but there's something to me very soothing about reality television. Unpopular opinion, and again, we don't care. The opinions of others holds very little real estate in my life. But yeah, unpopular opinion, love the Kardashians, love them, love the Housewives. New Jersey is like that's where I shine. Those are my girls, that's my family. So I had stopped watching for a few years, and so I wanted to get like all caught up and ready to rock for what season is it? Like season 11? Yeah, I think season 11. So I wanted to get myself all caught up and jazzed up for season 11. So I went back and I started watching from the season that I believe I had left out on. And oh my gosh, whoa, there were some doozies in there. Like there were some couples and some people, like one hit wonders, like one season wonders that were on there for a bit that I'm just like, oh, thank God. Thank God their TV persona did not live to see another day because some of those people were just not the vibe for me. But yeah, so then I did all that and I got myself caught up and then I was like, you know what? Fuck it. What else am I doing with my life? I need a little downtime, a little R&R. So I started right back at square one, season one, and it was the best thing of my life. Like, I don't know why. I think I'm like in these people's families. Like, I very much thought I was Caroline Manzo's daughter, very much thought I was Melania Judice, like I very much relate to all the people on the show and just really, does anyone else do that? Like, do you find yourself like fitting into the lives and the plot line, if you will, on like reality TV show families? Like, do you have your reality TV show family? I really do, and I don't know, there's something to me calming and soothing and grounding about reality TV. And I don't know, maybe it's my own either mental illness or just boredom, but I love it. I live for it. So yeah, if you have anything like that, just dive in, relive it. If you're like me and you have insomnia, it's nice to wake up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. and know that Teresa Giudice is there as your shoulder to cry on for 11 seasons. You know? Part of it is I think I relate to some of the personalities on there, particularly Teresa. You know, she's my girl. I relate very much to, like, she's just very much like a giver. She's nurturing. She's all that. She's also a bit theatrical and extra and dramatic. I definitely relate to that. You know, at her core, she's this sweet, endearing, family-oriented, sometimes a party gal. But when push comes to shove, she will flip a table real quick. And I carry that energy right on my hip at all times. I also go through phases where, like, I love living vicariously through other people. Don't we all do that? I think we all do that. All right, let's talk about another semi-superficial thing that I'm loving right now. All right, this is 100% superficial. The loose denim and trouser trend. Loving it, can't get enough of it. Frankly, it's like an elevated sweatpant look. I don't know about the rest of you. A lot of us are in no position to be putting on tight denim right now. I don't want to speak for anybody but me, but for the last year, it's been scrubs or pajamas, and things are opening up now, and little by little, we're getting back out there. And I can't do a tight jean. I can't do it. The way my midsection is set up right now, I can't do a tight denim right now. So I'm loving that this like 90s trend of trouser and baggy denim is coming back into play because we don't want to see this in a skinny jean right now, I gotta tell you. And I'm not body shaming myself or anyone else. I'm just being honest about where I am and just giving myself a little bit of grace, to be honest with you. Plus, it looks really cute. I like the trend. I don't know if it works for everybody. It can work for everybody if you want it to work for you. That's how I feel. That's like my favorite thing about seasons changing is the influx of the new style and trends and all of that. I live for that shit. If you know me, I live for that shit. It's the best. All right, let's go. What else are we feeling these days? So I'm also really loving the. All right, this is a cliche. This is a cliche. This is like very Instagram. This is very Pinterest. This is very Brené Brown. I'm loving setting boundaries. I'm like very much again, one of my default settings is just like a giver. I give, I like to help, I like to support the whole thing. I'm obviously also in a helping profession, that type of thing. But that can definitely get us into some situations where we're sort of running on empty. We don't have anything more to give. And for me, when I'm tired, when I'm overspent, when I'm overworked, that manifests in my temper and my irritability. And, you know, like no one wants that. So I'm just trying to be more honest with myself and others about, you know, where I'm at in my life and my capacity and the things that I can and cannot say yes to, the things that are non-negotiables for me. And honestly, it's really healthy. It's healthy in friendships, relationships, even working relationships. I think a lot of us can definitely get into that situation where, you know, you want to be a team player and you just keep saying yes and piling things on. But, you know, sometimes you have to take a step back and make sure that you're making time for yourself and getting all of your things done and all of your needs met, because that's just not a good look. It's not at all. And like I said, that's sort of how we all end up spiraling into our unhealthy habits and versions of ourselves, whatever they may be for you. Like for me, it's things like avoiding exercise and not setting aside enough time to take care of myself. Like, you know, so I end up buying lunch more instead of preparing meals. I end up spending more money in that way because, you know, I'm in a rush and I didn't set up enough time to do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, now I'm stopping for coffee instead of making it at home. Like just little things like that that add up and sort of create mini chaos in the usual routine of my day. That's usually what ends up happening for me when I'm sort of overbooked, overbusy. What about you? I'm going to post a little poll. What are your go-to self-destructive habits that set in when you are overworked and not setting any boundaries for yourself? And boundaries can be really like anything. Boundaries can be emotional. Boundaries, I mean, certainly can be physical. Boundaries can be things like your time, your energy, what you give your thought and emotion to. One thing I love about boundaries, I heard this and then I've read it in a couple places recently. I feel like it's like a viral idea going around right now. But one thing about boundaries is if you set a boundary and someone ends up being angry with you, that means that that person was benefiting from whatever action or situations precipitated the need for you to set that boundary. So of course they're angry. You took away their little lifeline. You took away that little parasitic relationship dynamic they had going on, and now they're left without. And you know, too bad, babe. That's the facts of life. But just pay attention to that. And if you set a boundary with someone that genuinely cares about you, cares about the relationship they have with you, they're going to take that feedback and they're going to adapt to that. If that person doesn't give a fuck about you, then they're just going to be mad at you. They're going to hate that you set the boundary and that relationship is going to fizzle. And that's fine. We love when the trash takes itself out over here. We love it. My favorite thing ever is whenever I post anything that's like indicative of my political stance or, gee, I don't know, in any way, shape, or form, anti-racist, I lose at least like 4 to 6 followers on Instagram. And I love that shit. I don't want people to feel safe being racist or bigoted around me in any way. So I love that shit. Take yourself out. Take it out. So that's a boundary. That's a boundary that I like to set. I love that. And to sort of tailspin off of that, something else I'm really loving lately that I think is another big trend in, you know, interpersonal relationships that we're seeing, and also intrapersonal relationships, accountability. Accountability. Big accountability fan. I've just always been that way. Like, if anyone ever says or does anything like shady around me, or, you know, tries to spin something in a favorable light for themselves, but that maybe puts someone else in a bad shape, like, whatever the case may be, like, I'm very much like, I'm pulling up a receipt, I'm a very much keep that same energy. I'm very much, well, that's not what you said at 5:55 p.m. on March 16th, 1989. Like, I'm very much that, and I've always been that way. So I'm definitely part of the team accountability. One thing I'm not great at is, but I'm getting better at, this is something I'm getting better at, is holding myself accountable. Again, like I talked about slipping into those self-destructive habits, I am trying to be more mindful and hold myself accountable for if you do X, you know Y and Z happens, so cut the shit, bitch. So I am trying to do that, but I also am big on I'm very outspoken. And you don't have to be outspoken to keep yourself or other people accountable. No, but it is I don't want to say it's easier for people like me. Because sometimes it is like you kind of assume that role or other people put you in that role. Like I was always the friend in the group that like I got villainized a lot because if people were having problems with someone, like if there was always someone that was like messy, causing problems, causing chaos, causing drama, it would always be like, all right, like Beth, like you speak up, like you like talk to her, like tell her like you're good with this and that, and like and then it always ends up being like me, like I'm the bitch or like I'm the one causing problems or I'm calling out so and so, and I'm just like, no, you wanted to act funny, so I pulled the fuck up, and the rest of us are already thinking it behind me, but just no one felt like they had, I don't want to say the courage, because that's not the case, but just no one else was wanting to step into that role. So it's not easy for anyone to hold themselves or others accountable, but it is necessary. And again, in the same step as setting boundaries, if that is a valuable relationship, if that is a healthy relationship, those types of things are going to be beneficial. They are going to grow and strengthen that bond. If it's a toxic relationship, of course that's going to fizzle. If you hold someone accountable and they don't want to be held accountable and they don't value your opinion, they don't value your input, they don't value you or your feelings, then they're going to walk away, and that's cool. Again, we love that. But if that person does value you, and they may not be able to see it at first that, you know, what you're doing isn't necessarily confronting them, causing a fight, causing an argument, accountability is a good thing. But accountability can definitely feel like an argument when you or that person who's being held accountable are not ready to, you know, do that inner work and reflect on, you know, what does this mean, and you know, what can I do about it, and what of this is my responsibility, that kind of thing. You know, like it takes two to be toxic. So like if you're in a situation where, again, there's zero accountability, there's zero boundaries. There's one person that may be the aggressor, the aggravator, the one, you know, just sort of doing most of the negative work, so to speak. But if you're not speaking up, if you're not holding that person accountable, you're not setting boundaries, you're not enforcing those things, you are just as culpable. Sorry, but you are. And again, I'm not victim blaming or anything like that, but I'm very much in the business of if I see a problem, I'm seeking a solution. And if that solution can be as simple as me changing my own behavior, whether that's how I interact with someone, my expectations of someone, how I value or place weight in a certain relationship, then that's something that I can do. I'm not in the business of harping on the same situation over and over and over again and beating a situation till it's fucking dead, trying to get someone else to change their thought, their perspective, their opinion. I'm happy to share mine. I'm hopeful that, you know, if there's a situation that I really and truly believe someone is in the wrong, I'm hopeful that with enough guidance people might change their mind, but it's not only my cross to bear. So I do make a really big conscious effort to be mindful of my own responsibility in situations that may be toxic within my own life. And that may be as simple as like not inviting certain people to do certain things. Like, it may be not having a certain type of conversation with certain people, at least at a certain time. And again, those are things that you on your own can control. I'm just very much in the business of making my life easier and more peaceful. And I just feel like upfront, blatant honesty to me is always the best policy. I know to a lot of people, it can be blunt, it can be harsh, it can be cold-blooded, but that's just not the case. And on that note, the last thing that I'm loving lately is the art of letting go. Like, I don't carry the weight of any insignificant bullshit anymore. Like, I'm not stressing over insignificant arguments, disagreements. I'm not stressing over, you know, someone making a rude comment to me. I don't have to do that because I address it right then and there. Like, I'm just very much, if you want to act funny, I'm going to act fucking hilarious. And we just squash it right there. I'm not carrying stuff on. I'm not letting a pattern repeat itself over and over again. And, you know, talking behind people's backs. Did you see how so-and-so is treating me? This is how she's talking to me. No, I don't have space in my life for that. I don't cut people off. I don't get into fights. I don't get into arguments. I just reassess and reassign. You know, if there's someone in my life that I place very high value in, and then I realize, you know, maybe our morals, our goals, our spiritual alignment, things on a bigger level don't line up, I don't need to have some big blowout with them. I just, that relationship just changes. Still got love for them, still want the best for them. We just, that relationship is just a little bit different. And I'm not carrying around the negativity and the toxicity of other people's bullshit. And I don't mean that to, you know, just sound like a loner or I don't care about other people and, you know, the people in my life don't influence me or impact me in any way. No, I don't mean that. But what I do mean is I'm not ruminating on things. Again, when you address things, there's no need to ruminate. If you address something with someone once, twice, three times and shit doesn't change, that's not going to change. And for me, I'm not going to keep putting my hand on the stove and wondering why it's fucking burning. For me, I'm recognizing that each time I engage in that behavior, something bad happens. Therefore, I'm not going to engage in that behavior. It eliminates so much shit from your life. Again, that goes hand in hand with holding yourself accountable, setting boundaries. This is all the same theme. I'm just putting a different name to it. Also, this is like not rooted in any like real-time events. Like, I don't have beef with anybody. Frankly, I don't have time to argue with anyone. No, these are just things like as I'm thinking about, you know, relationships and friendships as an adult and, you know, what makes those healthy for me, to me. I feel like a lot of this goes hand in hand with, I think I've shared this before, the peace that comes with acknowledging and accepting that not everybody is going to like you. Not everybody is going to like me. There's a reason there's a phrase, you know, I'm not so-and-so's cup of tea, like that kind of thing. And like, that is totally okay. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. Like, I'm just very okay with just being comfortable with that. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if that's an art, a skill, a character flaw. Like, I don't know if it's reduced or enhanced emotional capacity. I really and truly don't know because I am aware that not everyone feels that way, and that's cool too. But my point in that is like someone doing or saying something like bad about me, that shit doesn't affect me the same way it maybe would have when I was younger. And I've always been a very much like, you know, Miss Independent type of vibe. I've just been always very much that. But I don't hold other people's perceptions of me with much weight. Like, if someone were to say to me or say about me, you know, like, Beth can have a really bad temper. Yeah. Yeah, I can. So I acknowledge and I accept that, and that doesn't hurt me because that's truth and that's fact. And it those are the types of things that before I started to work on myself, that would give me a little bit of shame because it's not something I love about myself. I acknowledge it. I accept it. but I also work on it because it's not fun for me or for the other person. But like something as little as like, so I kind of feel like when you reach this point in your life that you're kind of like, you know yourself so well and you know what makes you tick and you know your triggers and you know, you're very introspective and all that stuff. I feel like there's not very much other people can say that is really truly hurtful. Because at the end of the day, you know who you are. Even if what they're saying is a bad thing, if it's true, yeah, I know it about myself. Like, I'm not denying it. What the hell do you think I went to therapy for? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's just how I think of things in my mind. And it's the same way I think about, like, other people. Like, I could think about someone, you know, when they're in a bad mood, they get snippy. When they're in a bad mood, they isolate. When they're in a bad mood, they cry a lot. You know, when they're sad, they rant and they like to, you know, do all this. Like, to me, like, that's them and that's their thing and that's what they do. It doesn't make me like that person any less. That's just, like, we all have our shit. I don't know. So for me, like, when you own your shit, it's like, you're just kind of untouchable. And it doesn't mean that you're not receptive to feedback, and it doesn't mean that you're better than everyone. No, it just means, like, you're not telling me anything about me that I don't already know. And that's not to say that we're not all always changing, and please, if I, you know, ever get out of line, if I ever start acting out of my character, just, you know, give me the little heads up, let me know, and, you know, I'm happy to work on that too, but... Like I said, there's very little real estate being held in my life by the opinions of other people. Sorry, I said it. All right, let's chill. I could talk about this for like ever. Let's talk about some things that I am looking forward to. Like I said, spring has sprung. We are out here. We are getting ready for the summer season. Everything is in bloom. I'm really excited to get out there. One thing I'm really looking forward to, and I think that there's some things in the works. I really want to go to a winery. I love that stuff. I love that vibe. It's just very much like, it's such a great way to execute the task of day drinking. Because it is, well, I mean, for, like, you really can make a whole day of it. It's fun. Most places, they either provide food or you bring snacks, which is always a 10 out of 10 bonus. So when I think of a winery, it's basically like having like an adult picnic to me. And I love that. I think that's fabulous. But I'm very much like, I think if I didn't do speech pathology, I would honest to goodness, kind of thought about being a chef, definitely big into the food and beverage industry, and like, I don't know if I could be a food critic, because like, I like a lot of shit. I don't critique a lot. Like, I just, I'll eat anything, to be honest with you. Same way with wine, though. I do prefer red wine, though. I really do. I am very much, I'm a Cab Sav, I'm a Pinot Noir, I'm a Malbec, I'm a Montepulciano, I'm all of that. Chianti, very, very much all of that. Will I drink a white wine? I will. Will I have a rosé? I will. Like Drake said, rosé and calamari, that's the summer diet, and that's very much the 2021 theme. That's the diet for the summer. But yeah, looking forward to wineries. We used to go at least every Mother's Day, me, my mom, my sisters, my cousins came one time. We would go for my mom's birthday, random events. Like, it's a good vibe. It's fun. Who doesn't love a wine? You know what I'm saying? And I do know that some of my favorite ones, shout out to Chadsford Winery. If you're in PA, Chadsford Winery, that I believe like they're resuming a lot of their spring and summer activities, and they have a nice big, outdoor grounds, like tons of space. It'll get crowded there, but even pre-COVID, like you're never in a situation where you're on top of other people. So it's very that, very friendly, very family friendly, dog friendly, if that's what you're doing, if that's what you're into. So very much looking forward to that. And things like that, wineries, breweries, just that kind of, you know, I love a lunch and learn. I am also so looking forward to bar service resuming. So obviously I live in Pennsylvania. I've said that a million times. So bar service without needing to order food, like indoor bar service, outdoor bar service, like just walking up, getting a drink at the bar, sitting in a bar, that resumed at the beginning of this month. And I'm about to pour a glass of wine. So if you hear something, you know what the hell is popping. So that resumed in the beginning of this month. I have not been anywhere yet. You know, I'm still being like low key, all that stuff. But I'm very much looking forward to that. Like I do miss the social scene a little bit. I did not anticipate the last 6 months of my 20s being in a lockdown situation, but here we are. We're damn near 31 at this point. And you know, we got to get back out there and thrive when we can. But I'm really excited, and I feel like the biggest flex of summer 2021 is going to be the face reveal when you take your mask off at the bar. Like, let me set the scene. It's a nice night. It's like a ripe 78 to 82 degrees. You've got you in your nice little trendy little outfit. You've got your little bag, your little lip gloss, your little cell phone. You've got it all with you. You've got the crew. You and the girls are going out. Someone drove. Y'all walked wherever you're going. Everyone's feeling fun and fresh. And, you know, let's say you're going to like grab a bite to eat, you know, oh, table for four. Okay. You walk through the crowd. All eyes are on you. I have very much main character syndrome. So like this is my story here. You're walking through the crowd. All eyes are on you. And as you get to your table, you take off the mask and picture it. The face reveal is the new like beach body situation. I'm very much excited for the face reveal. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. The nose and mouth carry a lot of weight on the face. And yeah, like they just do. Like, sorry. I'll say this. Like, again, I'm a speech pathologist. Like, most of my day is spent assessing the face and mouth. Like, I think it carries a lot of weight. So the face reveal, mask off, that's a big one for me. I'm very much looking forward to that. All right, what else are we looking forward to? I've talked about this before. I'm very excited for my new kitchen. Like I said, big food and bev gal, big chef, Chef Beth. Love cooking, love that. Can't wait to get in there. Just picture me in my new kitchen, my new cabinets, my quartz countertops. Just picture me mincing some garlic. We got the olive oil in the skillet. We mince it up, throw it in. The shit is popping. No question. That shit is popping. So I'm very excited for my new kitchen. Very, very, very excited for summer entertaining. I love entertaining. I love hosting. I'm very much like the one in the group. Like if something comes up, like I'm always happy to host. I don't care. It costs an arm and a leg. It's a hell of a lot of work to do. It's a hell of a lot to clean up, but like, I love it. Very much into the party planning. So yeah, I'm looking forward to hosting between my new kitchen and doing some work outside, you know, getting new lounge chairs and all that for the pool. That'll be really fun. And I can't wait for all that to be ready. Usually like my sisters and their kids will all like always come over pretty much every day. You know, by the time I get home from work, people are usually already there. It's a good ass time. Can't wait for that. Thought it was on the horizon, but now we are currently in like a freeze warning. We're going to go down to like 31 degrees overnight. So that's always fun and fresh, at the end of April, you know? Yeah, so really, really can't wait for that. But just one other thing that I'll say I'm looking forward to, but I'm also loving because I've started to do it. But I'll say I'm looking forward to seeing how else it can benefit me and my friendships and relationships. So something I've started doing is let me give a little background here. So I am personally not someone who vents. When I have a problem, it serves me nothing to just vent, to just chat, just talk it out. I don't like that. That's why a lot of times, like when I'm going through something, I get quiet, because what I don't like to do is like ruminate on shit and just talk about it and like tell 12 different audiences like that. That doesn't serve me at all. To me, that like hypes me up, makes me anxious. Like it just, that doesn't help me with problems. I am very much like I said, I'll quiet down, I'll retreat into my own head. And I like to, okay, there's a problem. How do we solve it? That's very much me. But what I've had to recognize is that not everyone thinks the same way that I do. So it does nothing for me to rant or vent, but it does a lot for other people to rant or vent. And that was a tough one for me to come to terms with. I still sometimes struggle with like kind of being like, okay, what the fuck is the problem? Like, can we stop talking about the same thing? Like, just make a move already. I do sometimes still struggle with that. But I very much am working hard to give the people in my life some grace. And if that's how they cope with a problem, all right, like, you know, let them hash it out. So instead of my default always being like love in the way I'd like to be loved or advise in the way I'd like to be advised, I recognize that the approach that works best for me when I'm in need and the approach that I would be my default setting to give is not necessarily good for everyone. So what I've started to do is if someone will come to me with a problem or they're venting, they're very upset, they're concerned, they're frustrated, they're whatever the case may be, instead of immediately going into my advice mode, my feedback mode, my counseling mode, my fix-it mode, I'm very much a fixer, I'll listen and then I'll ask that person, are you open to feedback? Are you open to advice? If it's a yes, okay, great. That's my green light. I can go in. If it's a no, then I understand that what this person wants is just to talk about it. They just want to talk. They're not looking for advice. They're not looking for anything. They're not looking for guidance. They just want to talk about it. For me, I don't get it, but that's cool. I don't have to get it. But what I do have to get is that works for you. That works for that other person. Because a lot of times I can get myself into trouble because I'm well-intentioned, but, you know, if one of my friends were to come to me and they're crying their eyes out, you know, their boyfriend forgot their birthday, he called their dog fat, and I don't know, he was, like, Instagram messaging another girl 4 years ago. You're crying your eyes out. For me, I'd want to fix that problem. Like, I'm very much like a, okay, handle it type of thing. So I automatically go into, you know, the role of like, okay, well, we've talked about this same exact scenario with this alleged boyfriend 10 times in the last 4 days. So why don't you tell me a little bit about why are you staying in this situation? Because for me, again, back to the hand on the stove, I'm not going to keep doing that. I'm not going to keep myself in a situation that's not serving me. Because that I personally can't do. Other people can. Cool. But so I get myself into hot water as I immediately start, you know, kind of dissecting the problem. Start brainstorming solutions. When really this person doesn't want a solution. They're not looking to change their relationship. They're not looking to leave their man. They just want to be sad that he called their dog fat. Okay, I can shrug my shoulders and move on. It's not my approach, but I can shrug my shoulders and move on. Because what I don't want to do is assume that everybody wants to be loved and cared for and attended to in the same exact way that I want for myself. I'm very much, I I thrive in tough love. So I don't change my personality for everyone, but I understand that not everyone is cool with the things that work for me. So I'm grown enough, evolved enough to adapt to, you know, what might be helpful for this person. I know this person well enough. How can I communicate to them in a way that's beneficial for both of us? And that's honestly, it's been a game changer in my relationships as an adult. Again, I'm still working on it. But I think it's a game changer because it kind of allows each of you that space to, like, know what the expectation is in that moment. You know, if this friend is coming to me and all she wants to do is chat it out, but, you know, I'm thinking she wants to fix something. Well, both of us are approaching it with a different expectation. And, you know, expectations that are mismatched often lead to disagreements, arguments, breakdowns in communication, that kind of thing. So I'm very much a let me see where you're coming from, and then we can handle it from there. And, you know, the other thing, like, I can definitely relate to this. You know, a lot of times for people when they're venting or crying, you know, they're at their most vulnerable, and they may not be receptive to feedback, or they may not want to, you know, kind of take off the rose-colored glasses and take a hard look at themselves or whatever situation they're in. You know, so by going in there guns blazing, because that's my energy, I'm not serving them or myself in that relationship, in that situation. So it does. It has been very helpful. Yeah, I mean, I can't say enough nice things about it. Again, this is one of those things that, like, this is my soapbox. I could talk about it for days, weeks, months, years. But yeah, let's leave it at that. And I hope that for the most part, this was, like, fun and fresh. I hope you're getting enlightened and excited for the spring and summer season. I hope you are ready to get it poppin'. I hope you are ready to just, you know, optimize and advance your relationships with yourselves and others, because that's really what it's all about. You know what I'm saying? So that's about it. Until next week. I think next week. I'm going to try for next week. Maybe next 2 weeks. We'll see. No one's waiting on the edge of their seat for this. But yeah, let's link up. We'll touch base. We'll get it popping next time. And I will chat with you all when it is time to get down and 30. So catch you next time. Have a good week. Have a good weekend. Love you all. Shimmy and shake. Peace and blessings. I'll catch you next time.